Hello, my name is Sony Toe. It's Thursday, January 20th of 2011, and I'm here in the WILL radio studio for Letters to the Future. For the record, could you please tell me your name?
George Chin.
Mr. Chin, when did you first arrive in Champaign? When did your family first arrive to Champaign?
Well, my dad came here in 1938, so he was the first one here.
And how old were you at the time?
I was not born yet.
Oh, I see. All right. And do you know why your parents came?
Well, my granddad was in Danville, Illinois, and he had contacted his son, my dad, who was living in Cedar Rapids, Iowa at the time. And he said that there was a Chinese hand laundry on the campus of University of Illinois here in Champaign for sale, and it was a good opportunity for him. So my dad somehow got here by bus and took the opportunity and bought the business.
All right. And how do you know how it felt to first arrive into Champaign?
I'm not sure. My dad was very vague about his early years here in this country. He was just a teenager when he came over here. But from a personality standpoint, my dad was very outgoing. So I'm sure as a kid or a teenager, he was very outgoing as well. So he managed to do quite well. China, you know, we had lost many of our freedoms there because we were landowners and business owners, and when the communists started to take over, you know, we lost a lot. The family lost a lot, and my granddad and my dad decided to come to America. So
how did it feel to grow up in Champaign?
Well, at a very, very young age, I did not speak English until I went to kindergarten. So all I was aware of was Chinese culture. We operated the Chinese hand laundry, and it was just quite busy, and we helped in the business as well. And so it was quite different in orientation when I went to school, and obviously I couldn't speak English, and I had to learn quickly.
So how long did your family own that business?
Let's see. They converted it. My dad converted. He eventually opened his very first Cantonese restaurant in 1957. And then my mom and dad ran the restaurant and the Chinese hand laundry. And eventually he converted the Chinese hand laundry on campus to the House of Chin in 1963.
And how has Champaign changed in the time you have spent here in all your life?
Well, the population hasn't grown a huge amount. I mean, it has progressed from the standpoint that, you know, when I was born in the 50s, university grew, buildings were added, buildings were renovated. You know, the first assembly hall, the first flying saucer building was built, and that was kind of neat when that was first erected, because it was the first of its type. I grew up on campus. I mean, just there on 6th Street, so we would, as young kids, run through the hallways of the Illini Union, played hide-and-seek, and we would get chased out by security, and it was a lot of fun. So, I mean, the Quad has not changed. The Illini Union did double in size when we were young, and that was even more fun.
So How do you think Champaign welcomed your family into the community when your dad first arrived?
Well, the Brazees, which were realtors and insurance people locally, happened to own the property that the Chinese hand line, Louis Lee Hand Laundry, occupied there on 6th Street. So they were, as landlords, they were very welcoming in terms of trying to help my dad get started. So they managed to come up with a workable sale price for the home or the building that the laundry was housed in, and then they ended up being our insurance carriers in the business as well. So they tried to help my dad and my mom adapt to the community and hopefully have a very successful business.
Okay. Why did you choose to stay in Champaign? What had kept you here?
Well, college towns are just great communities. You know, I grew up here, and my wife grew up here. I mean, she eventually returned here from living in Chicago, and we decided, you know, we would raise our family here. The fact that university here has all the huge advantages of culture, the arts, Division I athletics, and it was just convenient to have all these resources available to us. And life was good.
What was it like to live in Champaign?
Well, this community, as I understand it, has always had a very early immigrant diversity population. So I'm not so sure that, you know, being a university community, there were a number of Asians that lived here, and it's not like we were unusual people. However, when I did go to school at a young age, you know, I was picked on for being Chinese. And at some time in point, my dad says, hey, you got to stand up for yourself and defend, you know, your culture and your race, and, you know, set them straight. So, you know, a few bruises and black eyes. And you know, my parents really didn't condone fighting. However, you know, it was just, it gets to the point where, you know, you just kind of have to stick up for yourself. And eventually, you know, it was just understood that, hey, leave the chins alone because they're not going to put up with it.
So explain more about your education, the education you received as you grew up.
Well, most of it was, started early. In the home, I mean, education was very, very important to Chinese families. We had in-home school at a very young age where we're learning. I remember learning, you know, even writing Chinese, except I can't write Chinese today. You know, at some time and point, I kind of said, I want to be American, and I kind of declared that, you know, I want nothing to do with the Chinese tradition, so I quit learning to read and write. Now, I do speak the language. You know, it was just when I went to school and realized, wow, I didn't speak very much English and it was just difficult to communicate. I just needed to jump in with both feet and so I can get assimilated pretty quickly. And that was pretty true of my sister, my older sister. That was true for her as well. And then for my brother, we took advantage of the children's programs here. The Park District had a wonderful summer program at Scott Park that we spent a lot of time at. And, you know, we participated in Little League, playing baseball. I grew up, when I went to middle school, one of my best friends ended up being the head coach's son of the U of I football team, you know, Pete Elliott. And so, you know, we got a particular close view of the Division I football. For a kid that came from a Chinese family that really, you know, wasn't exposed to football at all. So that was kind of neat, you know, hanging out at the Elliott's home and watching games on the sidelines at Memorial Stadium.
So did you feel like you're trying to learn, I mean, as growing in, so you kind of ignored your culture, the writing, and try. And did you think it blocked your learning English?
Well, I mean, my parents were working very hard in their business. So, you know, eventually what I was, I was 7 years old when they opened their first restaurant. So, I mean, between the two of them, they had to split their time between the restaurant and the Chinese hand laundry, and there wasn't much time. My mom had done most of the in-home schooling, so we were off at school, elementary school, all day long. We'd come home, and we'd do our chores, and then we'd say that we had homework to do, except we didn't have homework. But I would give the excuse that we had homework and actually go out and have fun. And so there really wasn't much time for my mother to provide the Chinese language, to continue with the Chinese language reading and writing lessons. And, you know, I'm regretful that that's the way it happened, because as my kids, I started having kids, I wanted my kids to be bilingual, and at an early age, you know, we started them in on Chinese as well. But it was in a different dialect. It was in Mandarin, because I grew up learning Cantonese, and the national language of China now is Mandarin, and that's what I taught my kids.
What do you envision Champaign to be like in the year 2060?
Well, I still think the university is going to be a significant economic factor in this community, and it's going to kind of be the center of how it culturally, you know, creates life here. You know, I see America over the last several decades losing all its manufacturing, so it's clearly never been a manufacturing community, so I still can see it as a very intellectually oriented community, and I think it's just a great place to raise kids.
What advice would you offer to future residents of Champaign?
I would say take advantage of all its resources. I mean, our kids were very, very fortunate. University had a hockey rink. My oldest son, all my kids eventually played hockey, but my oldest son took a particular passion to it, you know, and ultimately, you know, his love for hockey, you know, he made the United States national team. He went to Notre Dame on a scholarship playing hockey. He played minor league hockey. My daughter took advantage of the talented dance instructors here, and is now seeking a, you know, professional dance career in Paris. My second son took advantage of the academic training at University High School, and now he's pursuing a PhD at Princeton University. My son was quite gifted in, my youngest son is quite gifted in French horn and took advantage one of the horn teachers here at the University of Illinois Music School, Kaz Makala, and he's on full scholarship at a conservatory in New York City. So I would just say take advantage of everything that's available right here in this town.
What did you choose to do as a career? Did you take the family business or did you go to college to make your own business?
Well, growing up in a business family with the Chinese restaurant, no, the Chinese hand laundry first and then eventually restaurants, I eventually decided not to pursue a medical degree practice. You know, mom and dad said, oh, we want you to be the first doctor in the family. Well, I didn't get that far. I ended up graduating from University of Illinois, and then I decided I wanted to go into business, and my brother and I opened our very first restaurants, Eddie's Deli and Open Air Cafe, right in the basement level of the old House of Chin on 6th Street. So we ended up becoming restaurateurs from there.
How has, other than what you had said earlier, how has the university changed as you grew up?
Well, buildings are newer. I understand. When I retired out of the restaurant business, I decided to go back and get some MBA work. So classes were being done. There was online communication. So that was completely different for me. You know, I mean, when I went to undergrad, you know, I mean, you went to the classroom, there were TAs that would assist you. But then this online communication was just all new to me. So that was very, very new and actually quite fun. So I kind of learned an appreciation for technology. And, of course, that was in the mid-90s when I went back to school, so, and technology has progressed so much further now that, you know, it's just, you know, we Skype with our daughter that's in Paris now, you know, we just, we do video editing at home, it's just amazing what you can do with technology, and it's a different world because of it. So I see that the university has kept pace with all that technology, and I'm sure there's a lot more that I have not had a chance to take advantage of in my own personal life. So I'm, you know, I'm looking at getting an iPad for mm-hmm. myself.
Mm-hmm. Had you lived through any wars in Champaign?
Well, the Vietnam War, that was a day I was in college when the Vietnam War was in full-blown action, and, you know, and there was protesting and streaking, and like a good young person, you know, I voted when I was 18, and, you know, I voted for McGovern, and I kind of lost track of what I was trying to say. I'm sorry.
Right.
Can you ask me the question again?
The wars you lived through and how
the
community
war, that's
was
right.
Affected.
Yeah, I had a little bit different view of the war, even though I kind of reflect back now that I registered as a Democrat and voted as a Democrat. I guess I didn't like seeing young people die. But on the other hand, I remember the stories that my mom and dad tell me about the communists, you know, coming into our village and just basically taking over everything. So, I mean, the thousands of acres of farmland that we had owned and the businesses that my great-granddad had owned, he owned a bank and a lumber mill. I mean, they basically took it all away. So, so when I kind of reflect back of what may or may not have been occurring politically, in Vietnam, you know, I wasn't so strongly anti-war, except the propaganda, you know, just said that we were there for, you know, industrial America, and I'm not convinced that we were only there for those reasons, so.
What did you like about growing up in Champaign?
Well, reflecting back now, is just, it's a small community, even though it has all the amenities of a community that's large enough to have Division I academics available, the arts, the sports, particularly arts. You know, when, you know, the Russian Ballet comes through, Chicago Symphony comes through, I mean, you can't imagine, you know, how expensive it is to go get a ticket to see the Chicago Symphony at Symphony Hall on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. I mean, it's $150 and it's $30 to park, and here you just pull in the Krannert and park for free. And so, I mean, you can take advantage of all those special treats, and it's just very cost effective. Just a wonderful way to expose your family and experience life that way. To add to that, at one point when I started to sell my restaurants, at one point my wife said, "Hey, could we sell our restaurants? And I really want to get a tenure track teaching position at a law school." And I said, "Sure." So I started selling my restaurants, and then when my wife was offered a tenure track professorship up in a law school in Chicago, we started looking for homes. You know, near in Evanston, where Northwestern was, and we realized, wow, first of all, real estate was four times more expensive. And second was, it was just tough logistically to try to get your kids to soccer, dance class, a piano lesson, getting to the grocery store. And it's just, I mean, you ended up spending so much time. It really wasn't, I mean, it was just a whole different lifestyle. And eventually my wife said, "No, we're not going to leave this community. I'm not going to accept it." Well, as a matter of fact, she accepted the position and had to turn around and tell them that, you know, that she had to recant her decision to go teach there. So we ended up staying here in Champaign.
How many restaurants do you own, and what are their names?
Well, the first one that my dad started was the Hong Kong Restaurant. That was in 1957. Then he opened the House of Chin, And then my brother and I opened Eddie's A1 Delicatessen, an open air cafe in 74. And then 1977, we opened the Greater Downtown Champagne Food and Beverage Company. In 1983, we opened the Grain and Pasta. Piero Ferracci, my wife and I, we were all partners together. And then we eventually converted to Greater Downtown into the Bermuda Onion. Then I opened Creamy's after that. And eventually we sold that, and that is now currently Farron's, I'm sorry.
Do you recall any memories? Never mind, forget that. Are there any special landmarks or parks that you really remember change going on about the?
Well, there's quite a bit of change in Scott Park. I mean, as kids, we grew up on campus, so we spent a lot of time at Scott Park, and eventually Scott Park got to be kind of rough, and I understand it. And, and then there's a huge amount of construction that went on there in terms of handling the drainage. And so, I mean, the whole park was kind of revamped, and I don't believe that there is today, any park activities for young children in the neighborhood. And maybe that's because demographically there aren't many children living around Scott Park anymore. So I miss Scott Park, but, as community changes, it changes. I grew up learning to recreational fish as a kid. So I would ride my bicycle to Crystal Lake Park and catch carp and yellow belly catfish, and that was a lot of fun. So and I believe aesthetically Crystal Lake Park is still a very, very nice park. We lived in Urbana for years when my kids grew up, and we spent some time in that park as well. And Lake of the Woods, even though it's not technically Champagne, we had fun swimming and fishing out there as well.
How many kids do you have?
I have 4 kids.
And so what did you say they do?
Well, the oldest one now is a commercial realtor in Chicago. The second oldest, John, he got a master's degree and landed a great job with the Congressional Budget Office in Washington, and spent time there as an Asian analyst for the Congressional Budget Office. And he had spent spent almost 2 years studying in China. So that's where this Chinese background came that paid off. And he decided he didn't want to become a budget analyst the rest of his life, and wanted to advise future presidents on foreign policy. So he went back and applied to get his doctorate, and he's now working on that in Princeton. And then my daughter was Harvard's first dual grad in biomechanical engineering and performing arts. But she's choosing to do dance as a professional career, and she's now on fellowship in Paris dancing. And then my youngest is a senior at the Manhattan School of Music performing the French horn, and hopefully he's going to play in a major orchestra someday.
What schools did you attend in Champaign?
I went to Colonel Wolfe Elementary School, Edison Junior High, and I was part of Champaign Central's first graduating class, and then on to the university.
In what high school?
This is Champaign Central.
Champagne Central. All right. That's nice. What connections did your family have with other Chinese when your dad first got here?
Well, I don't remember much contact with the academic Chinese that were at the university. Running the Chinese hand laundry, most of our customers were professors, ROTC students, and fraternity students, because, I mean, the look, the Ivy League look was, you know, starch shirts and starch pants. So, so you know, we did all that cleaning and ironing for them. We grew up with early, there's two other Chinese hand laundries in town, so there's three. There's one just right around the corner on Green Street, and I would remember my dad was just getting so angry that he would get into these price wars on pricing, how competitively we would laundry a shirt and iron it and starch it, and or starch and iron it and fold it and package it. And he was frustrating because the competitor was always beating his price. So eventually he did kind of create a new marketing strategy that worked very, very effectively. He ended up renting he bought an old, or maybe it wasn't old, it was a new Roadmaster station wagon. It was kind of a cool station wagon as I remember it. And he started doing pickup service at all the fraternities. So he would do pickup and delivery. So, I mean, he kind of captured that market with that idea of pickup and delivery. So that was kind of ingenious of him to do that. And then in turn, he did the same, but he ran up to Chanute to pick up laundry to do at the Chanute Air Force Base. So we really kind of captured a huge market share at that point. And I remember that we expanded, doubled the size of our laundry business, you know, adding heavy equipment, laundry equipment, and huge boilers, you know, to create the hot water. And, you know, at some time point, we probably had 20 people working in the laundry. So, I mean, it was just always, you would hear the steam hissing all the time. And it was just, especially in the summer, it was just, you know, hot and humid in the facility. So, from a competitive standpoint, he had a relationship with the other Chinese laundry owners. And then eventually when we got into the Chinese restaurant business, and we housed the before I move on to the Chinese restaurant business, in the Chinese hand laundry on the third floor of our home on 6th Street, where we lived above the Chinese hand laundry. Well, the floor above that was an attic. My dad converted the attic to house Chinese students. So we had 6 graduate students living with us. And they were all Chinese, and it was kind of like, it was kind of the American plan. So we provided really just 2 square meals a day, and a room. So at a very early age, you know, I mean, there would be, you know, with my brother and sister and some of our Chinese help, and these graduate students, there would be as many as 12 to 15 people around the dinner table. And these Chinese graduate students, of course, you know, they're young and 20-some years old, and they're hungry. And if you didn't eat quick, you didn't get your share of food. So I learned to eat quickly. And to this day, you know, my wife is always telling me, oh, slow down, honey, slow down. Don't eat so fast. It's just out of habit all those years. So the Chinese graduate students did live with us. And it was interesting that I attended a funeral a few weeks back, and we happened to run into one of those grad students. And it's been 50 years since I've seen him. And so we talked about his family, and we talked about the University of Illinois, and he was an electrical engineer that ended up going to work for AT&T after he graduated here, and he had an illustrious career with AT&T. He was in their development department. He traveled the world, you know, doing development work for AT&T. So it was just kind of neat to hear about his family. And then my wife, she loves, what's the TV game where they spin the wheel? Wheel of Fortune, yeah. Well, anyways, I find out that this gentleman's daughter was kind of a trivia nut and ended up being selected to be on the Wheel of Fortune and ended up winning a Saab. So, oh, I got to go home and tell my wife that your daughter was on Wheel of Fortune. So that was kind of neat to hear that story. So, yeah. And then over the years, when our restaurants opened, my dad created this annual Chinese New Year celebration. It was kind of like the talk of the town. I mean, it was just a huge celebration with a huge 13-course dinner, entertainment, dragon dance, and many of the Chinese community came out for that event over the years. And so that's how we got to know some of the local Chinese at the time. So,
are your restaurants and the laundries still around?
They are not, no. I officially decided to, when I sold restaurants looking so my wife could look for a tenure track teaching position, I signed some non-competes. And I mean, the Great Impasta is still around. Harold Alston now owns the Great Impasta. He bought it from us back in 2000, I believe it is. So, and then the old Greater Downtown is now Natalia's, a Thai restaurant. Farron's is where Creamy's used to be. And Clybourne's is where Chin's used to be. So, I'm no longer in the food business anymore.
Are there any events or programs you participated in Champaign?
Well, in terms of what do you mean by events and programs?
Like maybe to teach a group of students, or maybe some great celebration may have been going on, or just something you offered other than your businesses that you and your family have made to contribute to the community.
Well, you bring it up like that, I probably embarrassed to say. You know, I really participated only in a way that my children participated. So if they participated in a particular activity, we were involved with that organization, whether it was coaching our kids, fundraising for, you know, our kids' organizations, or, you know, working and volunteering in the church that we belong to. Yeah, so that would kind of come and go as our kids would get involved in different activities. Now, my wife was always more participatory in our church.
Had you ever thought of leaving Champaign?
Yeah, I mean, we thought about leaving when my wife asked me if we could sell the restaurants and so she could find a tenure track teaching position. So, but we never left.
Was there any place especially you like to spend your time, or a place in Champaign that you really fancy?
Oh, there's just so many wonderful things about Champaign. I think Krannert is just a wonderful facility that offers so much in terms of the arts. And we're lucky to have a Krannert and how well run it is. We just happen to be a family that, you know, enjoy the arts, whether it's dancing or classical music or theater or jazz. We're lucky. And we really get world-class entertainment through there. And I just say again, we're very, very lucky. And, you know, Division I athletics, you know, and this, I know this is a very, very, very sore topic with a lot of people. But, you know, I miss Chief Alina Wick. You know, I, even though I'm Asian and I understand what it's like, to be discriminated against and made fun of. I haven't bought the logic of why, you know, we think we're dishonoring the Indians. I mean, I thought that was very respectful how we did it. And but, you know, that was just, that's a different generation, I guess. So.
What church had you attended?
New Covenant here locally. It's a non-denominational church, and it's they're very accepting and kind of a very open thinking.
Mm-hmm. And to wrap it up, I'm going to ask you three more questions I had asked you in the beginning. No, actually two more. What do you envision Champaign to be in the year 2060?
Well, I think with the technological superiority of this university in terms of technology and its relationship to the technological industrial park, I would hope to think that in 50 years, you know, the plans to create Silicon Valley of the Midwest will be, you know, well established. In 50 years, that would be nice to see. It would be nice to see that, and you know, this is whether it will actually happen, that the community actually get a little larger. I mean, there's strength in numbers. We have been very fortunate in this community to have all the amenities that we have here and all the services and product that we have here with, you know, a community of 150,000 people. With more people, that means there's more traffic. I know that mass transit in terms of busing is highly used in this community. Maybe in 50 years, you know, there'll be more mass transit available to the community, which would be nice. Help us become a greener community, because I mean, I think we clearly, you know, are a forerunner in that area, being green. I like that the university is taking initiative and putting up wind turbines. Hopefully, politically, that happens, and hopefully, you know, wind and alternative forms of energy will be something that this community embraces, and the building code departments will embrace it and make it, you know, easily accessible and affordable to residents and businesses. So that would be nice to see in 50 years. Yeah, I think that would be, those are my initial thoughts.
And what advice would you offer to future residents of Champaign?
I know people get busy in their day-to-day lives, but if there's a way that you can read the local paper, like the News Gazette, which is wonderful in terms of communicating with what's happening in the community, or get online, there are so many things available, so many things, resources that you can use, and it's and much of it is free. You know, no matter where you are at in your life and what interest you have, there is something to support you in that interest and really make life much better for you. So I say seek it out because it's here.